Comedy Store Wrestling is brought to you by Pro-Am Belts. They make the coolest custom belts for any occasion you may have. We're in the middle of fantasy football season, so why not get yourself a custom belt instead of a little trophy? What is this, Little League? You want to be a champion. And these are the real deal. Real leather, heavy-duty plates, nothing like it out there. Follow them on Instagram at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to use the promo code 10FF to get 10% off your custom belt today.
This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me as always, but across the way, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
It's great to be in this new setup when we don't have a guest. I mean, we're both big guys, so yeah. We definitely needed some more elbow room. And you know, I got leather pants on tonight, it's definitely good to spread out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little cold out, so I missed your warmth next to me. I'm not sweating bullets, but quick shout out to our sponsors over at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to go check them out at Pro-Am Belts on Instagram. Use that promo code 10FF to save 10% on a custom belt for your fantasy football league. Look at this thing over here. We have our first official Comedy Store Wrestling champion after our predictions at Crown Jewel. And it is the man to booth, John Sosis, producer John.
Yay. That's right.
Congratulations, man.
I often called you guys the brains.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think I only won by the tiebreaker, right?
Yeah, it came down to the tiebreaker.
With me and him or you and him?
You and me.
You and him, yeah, yeah. You too.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, now that the event's over, I was guessing on half the matches.
I mean, we all were. I was just having this conversation. It blows my mind that you could gamble on WWE events on DraftKings.
Yep.
I mean, it seems...
blows my mind.
Like, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I would think that would be rife for... I don't even know if it's illegal, but a WWE writer calling their buddy.
Of course.
Hey, you know, so-and-so's blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know how that... I've never been a part of anything. Well, actually, I have, but we won't get into that.
I imagine the writer who was pitching Logan Paul winning was the one who was going to bet heavy on him.
Oh, sure.
He placed the bets
on him. But I wouldn't have minded that. Like, you know, we'll get into it. I mean, I guess it's first up on the queue. Yeah,
we got some stories. Top story being Logan Paul being actually impressive in the ring again. Third match. It went way longer than I thought it would go. Honestly, I had it at 8 minutes, I believe, was my guess for the tiebreaker. And even John's guess, which won, was still like, it was, what was it, 18 minutes? And it went like 30.
Yeah, I mean, it was a longer match than I genuinely thought it would be. But then when you add in the interference and all of that, I'm glad that Roman didn't pin him cleanly.
Mm.
But it was a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. He did a bunch of spots. However, now he's injured. So
we know what it is.
Apparently, he blew out his entire leg. It's like the ACL, MCL.
Is it a work?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think it's a work. I think he just wants to take some... He did his thing. I don't think we're going to see him again, honestly.
Oh, no, we're definitely seeing him again.
You think so? But where do you go from the top?
He's too good. Like, if he applies himself a little less into the YouTube stuff, and why would he not go into that again just because he makes so much money on YouTube? He's good, man. I mean, I think Bully Ray, I always give credit to people when they say things on this podcast. He said it is the best three-start match of anyone's career for non-wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, the other possibilities you could loop into that category is David Arquette, I think Reed Flair. Or no, it's a David Flair. David Flair, not Reed Flair. I mean, Bad Bunny is pretty good.
Bad Bunny was all right.
But, like, I could see Logan Paul. I never thought I would say this. I could see him being a champion. A couple years.
I see him being a SmackDown champion, or at least the U.S. title. I think him versus Austin Theory. Who are we getting to that? Is that on the list also?
Well, yeah, he's on there.
That's number two. We'll get to that. But I think Logan Paul will be a champion just for the marketability of him and the promotion that WWE will get by doing that. But did you see his podcast segment from today?
I did not.
That they released.
I did not. I don't watch other people's podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, why would anybody? But
well, unless my name's mentioned on Rogan, then I'll tune in.
So I'm not. I can play it from my phone if you want to hear it. But basically, it was a segment of Kayfabe where his two buddies, one is in a wheelchair with his neck with a neck brace and a cast on his leg, and the other guy's sitting next to him with a neck brace. And Logan Paul's playing on about how tough the Usos are. Beat up his friends, and they're giving him shit like, you let us get beat up. And I think we will see Logan Paul again, and he will be with Jake Paul, and they will dethrone the Usos.
I
think that's what we're doing. That's what we're heading towards.
But I mean, the injuries that he supposedly sustained are like 6 to 8 month recovery injuries. ACL, MCL, your knee, all that. That's at least 8 months minimum. If you even come back, you know, some people, obviously with science, come back quicker. But also, I think it's a work for sure. I don't know.
I mean, they said he got injured mid-match. He was looking pretty sharp at the end of the match. Yeah. So I
will say this, and I'm not putting myself on Logan Paul's athletic ability, but when I was 30, I had the same injury. If it is true, ACL, the MCL, basically every CL ligament in my leg, and I played the rest of the hockey game and scored 2 goals. Now, it's different sports, you know, but I was around the same age as him. It's the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And really, I did not know I was injured until the next day when I woke up. I could not walk.
Oof.
So you know, I think the ACL injury is very common in wrestling, just because all it takes is one hyperextension of your knee and your leg is a bowl of spaghetti.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you could say it's a work, just like CM Punk is injured for the next 8 months. I mean, that's the thing. Who knows in wrestling?
Yeah. If it's not a work, you know, speedy recovery to you, Logan Paul. You know, still don't like the stuff he's done in the past, but he's starting to win me over in the ring. Also, I mean, is he local?
L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put this out there, because I saw Bobby Lee was hanging out with him. I think Bobby Lee did his podcast, and Bobby Lee is famously a Comedy Store, you know, family member. So let's just put that energy out there. Let's get Logan Paul in here. Call to action to all our listeners. You know, send them little messages and tell them to come over here and do something. Anyway, next up we got Austin Theory at Crown Jewel. Was it Crown Jewel? Or was it at Raw? It was on Raw, wasn't it?
No, it was Raw. He lost it.
On Raw, he tried to... It doesn't make a whole world of sense to me that he tried to cash in on the U.S. title.
It does to me, because I don't think Roman's losing the title.
Oh, of course not.
Soon enough.
But why would you cash in on a mid-card title?
Well,
when you have an opportunity to get a prone Roman or somebody else.
Yeah, I think the smart move would have been, from the writer's perspective, if you're going to lose it, if he's going to not cash it in successfully anyway, he just looks like an idiot and should have gone for the title and let Roman beat him.
Yeah.
And then eventually he climbs the ladder and he could face Roman or a champion.
That's what I would have gone. To me, it doesn't make sense that he went after Rollins. I get that Rollins was down after his match and would have been easy, supposedly, but it just still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to cash in on a mid-card belt. And to me, from my perspective, I know that some people have the perspective that this is a good thing. This, to me, was terrible. This, for Austin Theory, it buried him. He is useless to me now. He's got a lot of work to get back up to any kind of perspective to me. And it felt like Triple H's final FU to Vince McMahon's plans. That's what I felt.
I mean, when it happened, I thought, oh, he's getting Ziggler'd. You know, I mean, because I don't know why the WWE buries these guys that they, you know, they did it to Wyatt, like, for a bit. You know, they did it to Ziggler, they've done it to Rollins, and now Theory. I don't understand. You spend so much money on all four of those guys, you know, to build them up, you know, for various reasons, and then you slowly start to devalue them I just don't understand that.
I see it differently. Austin Theory, you could say what you want about his run on the main roster, but he was a Triple H guy. Vince pulled him up. Triple H didn't say he's ready. Vince pulled him up. So the way I'm looking at it is he's going to win that U.S. title, but he's going to do it by actually facing Seth Rollins and building himself up, and not going to be a cheap win with the Money in the Bank on an injured opponent. So I think you can come back from this. I still think it was stupid. He should have just gotten beaten by Roman. Even if you get a few punches in, he could have got squashed by Roman. But I think because they're going to set up a feud with him and Seth and turn Seth into a babyface, I don't think it was the worst decision for Austin Theory. And I'm an Austin Theory guy. I see him. He is going to be the top one day.
He'll be the new John Cena, as we've
been shown. John Cena was the first one to not successfully cash it in. So yeah. I kind of see it could be him versus Cena one day for a big title to sort of have that history there. I think they know what they're doing.
He's definitely going to need someone to put him over, like Cena, not The Rock necessarily, but...
I think that's a good match for Cena. They're talking about him showing up at Mania this year, so that would be a good matchup.
Well, anything that keeps him away from a fucking film set.
I mean, he just did his scissors. They just did the scissors poster, so I think...
Oh, yeah, with the Peacemaker 2, he did the scissors.
Yeah, I think season 2's happening, so who knows when he's going
to
be available.
Someone's going to have to contact Smart Mark Sterling for some legal... situation there.
This is not on my list of top stories, but it just happened with basically SmackDown. There's a couple things that happened. The Usos are now the longest reigning tag champions. They beat the New Day.
They won. Okay.
They won, so they are now the longest reigning tag champions of all time.
I mean, they're growing on me.
The Usos?
Yeah.
They're growing. I mean, I guess they're the ones, man. What are you talking about?
I haven't watched it yet because it's only 9 o'clock Pacific. We're recording.
I'm taping Rampage.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's a waste of space. How was the match?
The match was great. It was long. It was like 30 minutes long. It was a good long match. Really good. I mean, the Usos and the New Day always put on banger matches because they know each other so well. So it's always a fun match. Really good. The crowd was into it. The near falls were really good. You actually believed. I'm like, oh my God, are they going to give it to the New Day? But it went to the Usos. We also got Sarah Logan and the Viking Raiders finally debuted.
How many times are the Viking Raiders going to come back? They don't work. Get rid of them. Separate them. Turn them into monsters. They honestly would fit in with Bray Wyatt perfectly. They got the beards. Get rid of this Viking Raider shit.
Well, they premiered with the Sarah Logan back. So Valhalla is here. We'll see how far that goes.
I mean, I am they're one member away from getting the Riot Squad back. So
yeah,
how about Doudrop?
Ooh,
get her in the mix.
Where's she been?
I don't know. She's been missing in action.
She just fucking vanished.
Well, you know, AEW is not the only one with a bloated roster. That's like true. You know,
it's really
like
bad.
WWE is short on actual wrestlers. They have the same problem.
Yeah. And then another thing that happened at SmackDown that's not on my list that I want to bring up is that Bray Wyatt finally has his first feud. And it is LA Knight.
Is it? Is it officially, or was that just a segment?
It was a segment, but I feel like that's going to be his first in-ring match, probably. This is the first time he's interacted with anybody besides himself or Howdy or whoever. So I think that's going to be his first match back. And we were talking about it outside, but I think it's a bad move for LA Knight. Like, why are we going to... He's not going to lose. Bray Wyatt's not going to lose.
And I think he will.
He might. That's right. We were talking about that. Yeah. He might lose just because that character development.
You got some wacky theories.
Well,
there.
I remember Bray Wyatt... remember Bray Wyatt versus The Fiend? Bray Wyatt lost matches, then The Fiend would come in and win them.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good way to blow up LA Knight by letting him beat Bray Wyatt. You're like, what's going on? And then Uncle Howdy eventually, I fucking hate that name. Oh, Jesus, I hate that name.
Uncle Howdy.
I mean, it would be an amazing way to put the guy over.
Yeah.
But I just... All the fanfare you brought Wyatt back, I just...
It would have to be an immediate Uncle Howdy comes in after the loss.
Well, that exactly.
You can't have, I would be down with that.
You that's can't have thinking. Any like time pass. A week passes and everyone turns on Bray Wyatt.
No, I think he loses, and then in the ring, the arena goes dark, and Uncle Howdy's on the screen, like chastising him for losing and saying, "You need me, you need me, you need me."
Yeah.
And this way, in the meantime, you could put over a bunch of people. You could have him lose to 3-4 guys before he finally says, "You're right." And then there we go. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble.
I don't want 3 or 4 guys.
I want all of them in Royal Rumble. I think that would be so funny.
To have the Fiend and Howdy.
Gets eliminated, and then the Fiend comes in 2 minutes later.
Mick Foley did it. Mick Foley had 3 entries one year.
I'm down with that, too. Next up in the stories, it's something that has been rumored, but they're talking about bringing back King of the Ring, but like the original King of the Ring, where there's a tournament. The whole pay-per-view is the tournament, and it's all one night, and the matches all happen that same night instead of doing preliminary matches on Raw and SmackDown to just do the final at the pay-per-view. I'm down with this. I miss that. I like seeing them come back and fighting another match and the adversity and you know, overcoming all of that. To me, that's a really good story, so I'm excited to possibly get back the old-school King of the Ring tournament.
I love the one-night tournaments, not only in pro wrestling, but when the UFC had, you know, 4 matches in one night. I mean, it was insane, and in no weight classes. But that's another podcast. But like, I hope they do this, because you know that would get the nostalgia fans like me maybe watching a little more than they are now.
Yeah. Oh, also, not in my notes, they announced that the Raw 30th anniversary is, the logo is Raw XXX.
Raw is XXX.
Raw is X. Do not Google that unless you
too
want.
Late. That was already in my search engine long before. That's the 20th anniversary show.
I just don't understand. I mean, I get it. I get that they're trying to be edgier with Vince, with Triple H in charge and Vince gone, but... Whoo, boy, that's a bad Google search for any kid that's a fan of WWE.
Yeah, Earl's on the no-flight list now.
Yeah, I'm on it right now, to be honest with you.
I think this is going to be like the DX thing. It now has something to live up to. What does that mean? Yeah. We're like, WrestleMania 30 was WrestleMania XXX, but nobody... They didn't make a big deal about it.
Well, because it's WrestleMania, not Raw. Raw.
Well, I know. But
Raw sex, basically.
What are they going to do? What are they going to have Edge and Lita back on? Like, what are they going to do to really live up to that?
Bring back Val Venus.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, ladies.
I don't know. Is that guy alive? Is he good?
I mean, pro wrestling, who knows?
It's so weird when these guys go disappearing for, like, a period of time. They come back, and they are so out of shape. Like, it is. Yeah. Wild to see some of them come back, and you're like, oh. And
there's very few who have maintained, you know, how they looked. I mean, with the exception of Billy Gunn, he's gotten in better shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's because he's natural. Like, he actually works out as opposed to.
I mean, I hope he is natural, but like, as a 54-year-old man, I can tell you it's incredibly hard to, like, get in better shape than when you were 34. And he's 58, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he's natural, then he is a one in a billion walking this earth. I can't think outside of him. You know, even Sting wears the T-shirts now to, like, you know, cover up whatever. Now he's 63, but... Like,
yeah.
Jeff Jarrett is pretty jacked.
Yeah, he is. He is. By the way, speaking of Sting and Jeff Jarrett, they announced that's going to be the feud for Sting and Jarrett. It's going to be the thing.
Are we going to talk about that now? Or are we going like,
we'll to?
No.
I want to talk Crown Jewel again also.
Who's the manager in that match? Bobby Heenan?
We have to talk Crown Jewel because that was a pretty good pay-per-view considering.
It was.
Yes.
It was. I enjoyed it. Best Crown Jewel yet. I typically don't really care about these because they're... Most of the time before, they were just kind of throwaway pay-per-views. The stories didn't really advance. But this time, it was really entertaining, really good matches. Bobby Lashley and Brock. And Brock cheating. Not cheating, but like getting lucky to win. Because Bobby destroyed Brock. And now he's the only guy that can like destroy Brock all the time. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's very believable because, like we talked about, I mean, Bobby Lashley is a legit you know, wrestler. And I mean, I don't like saying he's undefeated in MMA because so is Jake Hager. And, you know, the two guys he fought look like potluckers.
Your new target.
But I mean, you know, like in a real fight, I might take Lashley if they did a shoot fight.
Well, that's when we made the bets, when we picked our winners for the night, that was my thought process in going with Lashley for the win. I'm kind of glad he lost just because of that story arc. But Brock is such a pay me and I'm happy kind of guy. He would take that beating. He'll be the guy who gets the shit beat out of him and wins by an error or whatever because he's there for the money. So it's actually, it makes sense that they did that where they didn't kill either of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always thought the WWE, I don't know how popular he is with wrestling fans, but they should bring in Alistair Overeem because he's the guy who liver kicked Lesnar, and you literally, he hit him so hard you heard Lesnar go ouch. And granted, it was a couple years ago, but Overeem is a great wrestling persona. Like he's you know, and he'll be allowed to be on the sauce again because when he wrestled in Pride,
Uberim,
or when he was K1 in Japan and Pride, he was pretty, like, he was not natural.
No. There was a very distinctive difference when he got off of the juice.
Oh, 100%.
He dropped like 100 pounds of muscle. It was ridiculous.
He looked like a deflated tire. he could still kick my ass, but like, I'm not in the fucking ring.
Yeah. What was your favorite match, John? I mean, aside from Roman and Logan, because that was a really good match.
I really liked Bianca and Bayley. I thought that match was fucking great. And if you put that match against the five best AEW matches, there's no comparison.
Women's matches or men's?
Women's matches and most of the men's matches.
I don't know about that.
I liked the match. The match was incredible, but I don't like that they gave it to Bianca. I feel like it was Bayley's time. I don't know what, you know, with Damage Control getting their belts back, I felt like that was the thing. We're going to have the girls with the three belts, you know.
This is where I say long-term storytelling. I think the whole point is to say these new girls don't need Bayley and they're going to turn on her. So it makes sense that they got their belts back. Bayley, you've had five chances. Why can't you win the title? We don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's going to land. I think the fans want to cheer for Bayley, so I think she's going to be faced very soon, especially if Sasha comes back and is one of the five they're doing the War Games thing. I have a feeling her and Naomi coming back. Yeah. But I thought that was just a really good match, and it had a lot of good spots that I.
The golf cart spot was a little slow.
I kind of loved it.
It was a fun spot.
It was WWE classic spot.
It was so slow on the way down the ramp. I'm like, oh my god! Just I liked that them fighting on top of it. That was fun.
We have to just be aware that part of the concern was probably we'll let you do this stuff, but you're in Saudi Arabia. Your clothing cannot come off.
Right, yeah.
You cannot go too fast and have a piece of skin on your waist showing or it's game over.
Yeah. How about you, Earl? What was your favorite match?
Strowman and Omos. I don't think it was... I will say that it's very impressive he body slammed Strowman like it was nothing. Like,
yeah.
You know, but that match was pretty brutal, to be honest with you. I mean, to me, obviously, the Logan Reigns match was just... It's hard for me to pick anyone other than that, I'm really impressed with Logan Paul. Like, you know, given a guy, how much training would you say he has? Maybe a year's worth, if that?
Yeah, if that.
And he's hanging in there. It's not like he's, you know, in there with jobbers, like, where they can toss him around. You know, who was that guy who looked like Brock Lesnar, but he wasn't the best? I think he was in AEW for a minute.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name. He was there. I forget what they were called, too. Like, he had a team.
Yeah, but he was
in NXT for a while. Yeah.
Logan Paul looks a lot better than that dude. Yeah. You know, and that guy's probably a more experienced wrestler and all that stuff. But I really hope he stays with it because, you know, there's so many. You know, I'd love to see him in Rollins. you know, Ziggler, I don't know if, you know, they would ever be in the same consideration, but I think if you put him in there with someone who made him look good, you know, put him over a little bit, you know, a technician like a Ziggler, who, yeah. You know, I think would put him over at this point on his way out to AEW. You know,
maybe. you could also see he's still pretty green. There were some leaps that he was doing, and that he was very slow. Where Roman had to be the guy who carried the match for a few spots, and that's fine because this is the guy's third match.
Yeah, and you're expecting that.
Yeah, like once I saw a few of the first few spots, I'm like, they're not giving this guy the belt. He's definitely not ready, but he looks really good in the match.
Yeah.
And that spot with the phone, the video did look cool. It was just a little bit, it was a little bit, like, just cheesy for me. Like, I hate the phone spots. I get it. It's social media. But him doing the dive with the phone, I was just like,
It goes viral, man. People love that clip, you know. Also happening, there's two more things that happened on WWE television. And I don't really, I think one of them was Raw. The other one, I guess they were both Raw. But the 24/7 title is finally, I think, retired. Maybe, possibly. Nikki Cross beat Dana Brooke, took the belt, and then in a crazy, like, looking up at the sky, just threw it. Completely missed the garbage, by the way. I don't know if you noticed
that. Did you? No, but I heard a crash in there, and it made me think they're coming back next week with a broken title, and it's a hardcore title again.
That would be cool.
That was my immediate, because when she dumped it, I didn't notice it didn't miss the garbage.
She missed.
But I heard a crash in it, and I thought the crash meant, oh, it broke.
That's wishful thinking. She wasn't looking. She was looking up at the sky, and she threw it and missed the fucking garbage can completely.
I didn't see that. I'm so upset I didn't see that.
Yeah, so maybe that's the end of the title. I would like it if they brought it back broken and it was like the old school ECW Hardcore Championship thing. But I know that I think it was Dana Brooke was interviewed, and then they wanted to bring it and make it, transform it into the women's IC title. So maybe that's what's going on. We'll see. But I'm glad that title's gone. I know it was really funny for a while when R-Truth was going back and forth with Drake Maverick and a couple people on it. But that whole thing has been dead to me for a long time. So I'm glad it's gone and out of the picture, hopefully. And then also Elias got fucking buried by Otis. What's going on?
I must have missed that match.
They had a match with Otis and Elias, and Otis won clean. What is happening?
I don't know why I say this, but Elias doesn't seem like Triple H's kind of thing.
But he was an NXT guy. He came from NXT because he was like the Wanderer. He would like roam around the backstage playing guitar.
I think they fucked up his return by not having him do the strum and by having Matt Riddle take over the segment.
Oh yeah, that annoyed me.
I hate everything about Matt Riddle, from the fucking flip-flops to the bongos to the 420 bullshit. Everything's the fucking worst with that guy, and he ruined the segment. And he's now, Elias is a jokey guy. He's now, who was the guy that the Adam something? He used to run around with that
Adam Bomb.
No, he used to run around with the fucking bunny, the party guy.
Well, I don't know. He's like when Chavo Guerrero had Pepe, the broomstick.
It's a joke now, and I feel like I'm glad Matt Riddle's not doing anything serious because I hate him. But I don't like that they're just trashing Elias when they just brought him back.
It doesn't make any sense. They made the man grow a beard back to fucking lose to Otis, who doesn't need to win. Like, he's a tag team. He doesn't need a singles win. He's in a tag team with Chad Gable. Like, what are we doing here? I don't know. I'm unless it goes somewhere else where like this loss makes him go crazy and he comes back as Ezekiel again, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do with him.
At this point, I say the tag division needs some help. You pair him with Rick Boogs when he gets back and you fucking have them go at it, because those are two big guys that can actually wrestle. Give them a title. They're entertaining. The fans will love them.
And they can do dueling guitar solos.
Yeah, it's
sure. Pair him with Ezekiel.
Oh God.
But yeah, that's you know, pretty much all that we have for WWE. I know that Survivor Series is coming up, but We got time. We got to let some of those matches get finalized so we can start talking about that. Some AEW news. Saraya is cleared to wrestle, apparently. Very emotional speech she gave on TV, I thought. You know, I think she's been pretty bad on the mic since she got back, but this one felt real, and she started crying, and the crowd went crazy. So good for her. I'm glad she's able to wrestle, and, you know, hopefully it'll be a good match at Full Gear. We'll see.
That promo was so good, I stopped what I was doing. 'Cause, you know, usually when I – no offense to the women's promos, but they're not the best, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They just – you know, they need outside help, either Vicky Guerrero or you know. But this was like – wow, because you got the sense it was like that Omega Osprey one where it got real. Like, you haven't done anything. I built this house. And then she's like, well, I've been in WrestleMania. I've done the O2 Arena. It was like, I always love those promos between two people when, you know, one little remark takes it to a real level. And so I think it'll be a good match. I mean, she's probably going to be rusty as hell, but I think Dr. Britt will, I don't know who will call the match. That's going to be interesting because I could see Saraya. No, you're not calling this match, honey. I've been around longer. But in reality, Britt Baker should call the match. Yeah. But we'll see.
Yeah, she's been gone too long. I think she should trust Britt to do it. Britt's put on some really great matches in, you know, in her time with AEW, so I would let Britt call the match, I think. I'm excited for it. I want to see it. I hope it's good. I hope there's no injuries.
I'm not hoping for an injury. I don't think there's a single safe worker in that women's division. I think there are sometimes they're such bad workers that they cancel each other out and nobody, and the match goes fine. I can't imagine Saraya's wrestling for long taking the, I would love to speak to the doctor that cleared her.
I think it was the Miami Dolphins doctor.
Anybody from Miami, all those doctors are ridiculous.
I hope she has a long career from here, but I am terrified for her because I imagine WWE said you're not even close to being cleared on our end. And if I was going to have her come back the same way Brian did, the same way Edge did, you go up to the professionals. AEW's not there yet. It seems like it's every woman for themselves. They're all out for themselves. I did see her on Renee's podcast. And she said the first person she texted was Sasha. So, like, I genuinely love Saraya Paige, whatever. I like her. I don't think this is a good move career-wise. Like, her injury was supposedly a lot worse than Daniel Bryan's.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, hopefully nothing happens. That would be terrible if something did happen. I'm not even going to think about it, but
maybe they don't do anything with crazy. The neck, you know, no snap me or takedown.
God, I hope Britt just fucking does a pile driver like right out the gate.
I mean, you know that's something Tony's pitching, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Nothing will go wrong.
We got to show people your neck is good.
Gotch style.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I'll say. If I had to pick someone for her first match back in AEW, it's going to be Britt Baker.
Britt Baker, yeah.
We just have to make sure that that's the only person she ever wrestled. I've seen those matches. They're bad.
Yeah.
It's a quick match, you know, 10 minutes, you know, maybe some, not outside interference, but that can hog up some time. I think if the match is called right and it's not some incredibly wacky ending, everyone walks away happy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both pretty over, so it'll be interesting. I can't imagine Saraya would lose in her first match.
No way.
But, you know, it's Tony Khan we are talking about, so.
Yeah, they could pitch it on, Ring Rust or whatever if she does lose. I don't know. One thing from AEW I didn't put in my notes. I want to get your thoughts on the MJF promo we got. I kind of dug the real, like, he's on a podcast.
The him in the studio one?
Yeah.
I mean, partially because I hate Moxley, but I was all for it. I'm like, he's not wrong. Every time he's tried to do something, there's been a different top story after that event.
Yeah.
So I think it was all a genius plan by Tony Khan? Absolutely not. It just so happened shit went down at every event that was the talk of the event. But I'm all for that promo, and Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to win. I would love for him to win, especially in the tri-state area. I think Mox is taking it, unless Mox is like, I really need my vacation now. It's been 3 months since that got postponed.
Yeah.
The elite's back. Let me go.
I think MJF, I think it's the time. If he loses, it's... I think that's a step backwards, honestly.
I don't like that you have, I guess, whatever it was called, whatever they call it. The
interim?
The chip.
The cash-in chip.
I don't like that you cash it in ahead of time. The beauty of the chip is it can be a surprise cash-in. And even if they're turning him face, he could have done a surprise cash-in and let everybody go nuts the same way they went nuts for Ziggler, even though he was fighting an injured person. Like, I would have liked Mox to go up against someone, get his ass beat, win the match, and then MJF cashes in. I don't like the planned cash-ins. It feels a little bit like, some of the momentum died. But I think it'll be a good match.
It'll be a good match. I hope he wins, not just because I'm a fan and I, you know, but I just think it's time. Mox needs a break. He's already 3-time champ. It's not going to hurt him to drop the belt to MJF. And I feel like we're about to usher, I think Full Gear is kind of going to be a reset for AEW, because next on the list I have The Elite is coming back at Full Gear. That promo package finally, you know, they had the gears, the CG gears that around all of the already, you know.
I'm going to pop a bone.
Early's so happy right now.
I'm going to lose my mind.
They've literally been gone for, what, a month?
Yeah. I just don't know what they're going to do at the pay-per-view because, like...
I'm smelling an interference. So they're going to cost someone something.
Yeah, I mean, we get them... If they set up a match, then that is going to blow the comeback moment for the pay-per-view, because that's what everybody wants to see, is the big moment when they come back. If they try to set up a feud to have a match at Full Gear, then it's going to kind of blow that welcome back moment.
Well, I don't think they should have a match. Like,
just come back, interfere with somebody?
I mean, Kenny, like, you know, I have a fantasy of one day MJF and Omega. I think it's too soon for that. But I hope they do it right. I mean, this is going to be pretty hard to botch. Because everyone wants those promos, and I'm telling you, even the one last week, they have a new writer or a new
somebody
assistant.
Working on, yeah.
Because that's not Tony Khan. That is a very well written, thought out, scripted. You know, the flames burning them out. Like, I'm telling you, man, I might have to go off the grid when they come back.
Earl is just like jerking off under the table.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I love Kenny Omega. Like, I just think that he's the best, man. Like,
he's blushing. You guys, if you're not watching the video, Earl's blushing.
No,
right
I'm telling you right now, man, the promos, the in-ring work.
And this is a man who has not watched all four Kenny Omega versus Okada 60-minute matches.
I'm telling you, I've done some more in-depth watching of Omega, and that promo with Ospreay turned me on to a whole new world.
Wait, just to throw it back, it's semi-related because it's Hangman Page. That lariat thrown by Logan Paul.
Oh, better than Hangman Page.
Better than Hangman Page.
All right, let's not get too off the rails.
By a mile.
It was a really good buckshot lariat.
It was fantastic.
I'll give him that.
100%, but he ain't... He's not
in the same realm as a wrestler, but that buckshot lariat...
That was pretty good.
It was very good.
It was better than Hangman. Hangman Page hesitates when he lands. Logan Paul, that's probably where he broke his bones, if he did.
Yeah.
When he landed, he was already off the ground, clothesline. I was like, wow.
Yeah, felt like the momentum pushed him that way, you know, like
just
it should.
Not in there. But yeah, I think Hangman, I imagine they're going to go into a feud, so... I have to think it's going to be something to do with MJF's people, the people that MJF is feuding with.
No, I think they're going to go straight for the Death Triangle to get their belts back.
I don't know. I think that's going to rub people the wrong way, that they were thrown off for this long. They were out for this long and they're coming back already for it. I think eventually they will, but I think those who was MJF feuding with, that group?
The Firm?
Yeah, The Firm. I think the firm's going to come out, either cost him the title or attack him after the match.
Mm. I hope it's just Morrissey. I don't think it will be, but God damn, that guy is just watchable. Like, it's not that he's just big, but he is jacked. Like, usually guys that big aren't, they just don't, they can't carry that much muscle. He does. Yeah. What is he, 7 feet?
Yeah, I think so.
And he's gotten a lot more ripped and bigger. But I think we're going to see a very similar comeback. Like, they're going to come out, Omega and the Bucks, and then someone else is going to come out. Like Adam Cole and Danielson.
Cole Cabana and CM Punk come out together.
I mean, honestly, dude, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Colt. We will definitely not see CM Punk.
Maybe it's United Empire. Like, I think there's going to be not a debut, but a double surprise.
Yeah. Tony likes his surprises, that's for sure.
All right, so here's my question for next week for the event. Do we think that they're going to make do you think they're going to make references to the fight?
Mm.
Wait, what was that?
If they're going to reference the whole brawl out conference.
They have to.
Like, are they going to take cheap shots at Punk? Do you think
they should?
They should.
Because I don't know what the legal issue is, but like, I'd be curious if Tony Khan's sort of saying,
if I were them,
I
give Omega the mic and say, do what you did.
I mean, look, we can
and
keep...
And then the debut, then whoever else is supposed to come out comes out. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Because they only have 4 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And they give a lot of shit away for free, which is great for us. We don't have to pay for it. But you got to maximize the Monday morning. Oh, my God, did you see this on Full Gear? So, I'm hoping it's the double comeback and it sets up. But, you know, it's Tony Khan. Like, but I am confident with the new, seemingly new writer, whoever. They're in Tony's ear. This is what we should do, Tony.
I feel like that's a possibility. You know, maybe a little too inside baseball, but like, I have a feeling from people that I've talked to, I'm not going to name names, that
name
are
names
in the camp.
We want
names.
Names,
dude. Don't be such
we
a
want names.
Pussy.
Don't be a puss.
After the abuse I took after my promo last week, every open micer in the fucking city messaging me.
No, I mean, it's not like that. It's just, you know.
The hell it isn't.
I've been talking to Brandon Cutler and trying to get him to come on the show. And right up until the confirmation that the Elite is coming back, I'm like, hey, I saw the promo. What's up? And he just kind of winky-faced. So I think they're going to talk about it, and they're going to do it on their pay-per-view, and then he'll be able to come in here and talk about it, because it's just there's somebody needs to say something. It needs to be addressed. That's all I think.
I mean, you're right. There are probably legal issues with that, but if there are not, I just think you give Omega the mic, he talks shit about Steel, he lays in on Punk, maybe they bring a dog out. No, like, hey, I was just trying to save a dog, and I'm the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so, I think there's a lot of ways this could go right. There's very few ways their return could go wrong. I just hope, you know, with the only 4 pay-per-views a year, they are doing their due diligence and... because it could set up the next 6 months for AEW.
Yeah, like I said, I think it'll be a good reset for them. Give the belt to MJF, let it be a new era. Let Mox go away for a while. The bickering that's going off on with the Blackpool Combat Club was, you know, I feel like that's going to dissipate. That club, even though I love it, I think that's going to dissipate a little bit.
And House of Black, maybe. You know,
House of Black gets involved.
You know, there's a lot of good... because I love Wheeler Yuta, but keep that mic away from him. Like that.
He's pretty rough on the mic, for sure.
2-3 weeks ago. Now, granted, they're putting him in a promo with MJF, which is probably not the smartest thing, because one guy's probably the best in the business right now on the mic. Top 3 at the worst. You know, so he had nowhere to go but down. But, you know, a great wrestler... but he needs a manager like Regal to. I'll take the mic, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the Elite has to come back as baby faces, because the last thing that you can have happen is they come back and CM Punk chants start.
Oof.
That is a disaster, because the talk is CM Punk's not coming back. So to put him in a position, to put Tony Khan in a position where the fans are screaming, like, this is a problem WWE had for probably a year after CM Punk left, where anytime they were in Chicago, those chants started.
Yeah.
So it's very, it's going to be, this is a big deal the way that they handle this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they botch it, it could set them back for 6 months.
Yeah.
And he's very good at doing that.
They're definitely have made some boners with some of their storylines and debuts.
Exploding rings. And
oh, boy. That was tough. That was like, that doesn't get talked about enough, but it's up there with the Shockmaster. Like the delayed response of both guys being like, all right, we're going to have to think of something on the fly here. I'll just stay on top of you.
Yeah, I'll give them props with the whole, like, I think it was the next day or whatever, they were just like, oh, man, Kenny Omega doesn't even know how to build a... exploding ring, like they blamed it on Kenny for not knowing how to build it or something. It was just
when MJF made the reference about winning and then something with Jericho. Was that Jericho falling off onto the cardboard?
Yeah, yeah. So when everybody was talking shit because you could clearly see it was a landing pad. So bad.
I will say real fast, like Omega he's good as both. Good guy, bad guy. I prefer him to be a bad guy.
Oh, for sure. The Bucks, too. The Bucks are rich assholes. Like, that's the persona. Like, hey, look at our new shoes. Look at our fucking crazy custom gear. You know, like, that. They're better as heels, for sure.
That was my favorite heckle I've ever heard at a comedy club or at a wrestling match. And you can imagine what we all hear at live wrestling matches. It's pretty rough. But someone yelled at the Young Bucks, your Jordans are bootleg.
Oof.
they both turned around like, how'd you know? Like,
And then also we had War Joe is no more. Samoa Joe finally turned on Wardlow because Wardlow got a little lippy. He was like, I'm going to get all the belts in here. And Joe's like, no, you're not. And if you are, you're going to get it to the back of the head. So this made me very happy. This team did not need to exist. As fun as it is to say War Joe, it did not need to exist. So I'm glad it's over. Hopefully we get a feud between the both of them.
Samoa Joe's becoming the Big Show 2.0. It's just a heel turn every few months.
I wish, because last week they kind of gave it away with Samoa Joe sulking in the background. I wish they would have, it would have been a little more surprising, maybe at Full Gear. You know, I love Samoa Joe as a heel.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, his body, I mean, no doubt he's like the Big Show in terms of, you know, he's an older guy. He's breaking down a bit. I can only imagine a stiff match with Wardlow would be pretty grueling for him. But, and I would imagine Samoa Joe would put him over, but I love him as a heel. So oh, yeah. I hope it's a good match. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to do.
They'll probably have a match for the belts.
Although I do like Hobbs, too, as a bad guy.
Yeah.
So I like the three of them. I like the bad guy heels. So, and Morrissey's in the mix now. So they have some good, whoever the face of the company is, it might be MJF, I guess. But he can go in and out of heels, I think. There's some good big guy heels, you know, nice variety. So
yeah,
we... You know, and Keith Lee, I think, is...
Keith is the face in the scenario. I think Swerve is the one that's doing all the heel shit, and Keith is kind of like shaking his head at it, like, come on, man, like, we don't need to do that. So I think Keith might actually go babyface, like, full turn and leave Swerve behind. Who knows? We're going to need some big baby faces, too.
Yeah, no, 100%.
If we're going to get all these big
heels. That's what's crazy. When we talk about the AEW roster being overstacked, it's overstacked with mid-card superstars. I don't think there are that many top-level guys that are not injured or out for whatever reason right now. Adam Cole's gone. Omega's been gone. Bryan's gone. CM Punk obviously gone. Like, they don't have anybody at the top except for MJF and Mox.
Hmm. So they definitely are a little short on star power.
I wouldn't be shocked if Mox wins because they're just going to continue that feud and eventually MJF takes it. But they have nobody. Mox really can't go on vacation.
Well, maybe that double debut is Adam Cole. Maybe Adam Cole comes back.
It has to be Adam Cole, or the it's going to be House of Black who comes, and that then it's going to be a 3-on-3.
I think Malakai. I think Malakai deserves a title shot. He's been paying his dues for long enough, and they're definitely one of the more interesting characters on the show. So I don't know. I hope he gets a title shot soon. But yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, Samoa Joe. He doesn't get enough credit for his walk away. Have you seen those? If you go home tonight, Samoa Joe.
Well, yeah, I'm going home tonight.
If you go home tonight. No, I'm saying, when you go home tonight, YouTube search Samoa Joe walk off. He has this thing whenever somebody goes to the top rope to dive on him, he just turns around and says, nope, and like leaves, and they smash on the ground. And it's the most, it's to me, that's the best thing in wrestling, because that's what you would do. If right. you're standing there and someone's going to jump on you, you're like, no, fuck you, fall on the floor. Right, so I love that. I hope Samoa Joe doesn't lose to Wardlow, but I have a feeling he will.
I mean, the only other option is you make it a triple threat and
with Hobbs.
And this way nobody gets squashed except for probably Hobbs.
Yeah.
But Hobbs is a young guy they're pushing, so.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I do like Hobbs as Spine Buster. Like, it's very.
It's powerful.
It rivals Arn Anderson's, you know, who's been. You know, everyone now knows Arn Anderson as this old dude. And,
oh, yeah, but he's the Spine Buster, like, but, master.
You know, in the 80s when he was, his Spine Buster was pretty epic. So I do like, I don't know if Hobbs is paying tribute to him or it's just his move, but I'm glad they're using Hobbs, and I'm also glad they're using Brian Cage a lot more.
Yeah.
Even though he's, like, not the tallest guy in the world, he's still incredibly powerful, and, you know, he's a good heel, so. A little stiff on the mic, but I like that guy who's the manager of that group. He looks like the Black Wizard. He's got the weird hat on. It's like a wizard hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember his name. It's like Prince Nana or something like that. Prince Nana.
I mean, growing up, my first favorite manager was the Wizard. Curtis, I forget his last name. He was, because he had the smoker's voice. He was great on the mic, and you know, I'm glad that Cage is, we've talked about Cage, just, you know, where was he for months upon end? And where's Sean Spears? What, you know, he comes back and then it's nothing.
Gone again. Shout out to Toa Leona, who was on the show and it was main eventing Rampage with the top guys. So good job. He's part of that crew with Cage. So shout out to that. Also, I'm going to circle back real quick since you mentioned Spine Busters and Anderson. My favorite match, I never got to it, from Crown Jewel, was the OC versus Judgment Day.
Really?
Yep. I don't know. I'm happy whenever the brothers and AJ are on TV, especially versus Finn, and they mentioned the Bullet Club on WWE television. That's never happened before. They said the words Bullet Club. They said Finn was the original leader of the Bullet Club. That is a surefire sign that WWE is working with New Japan. They were not allowed to say that before. So that made me pop in my seat. I was, fuck yeah. And speaking of Spine Busters, Carl Anderson's Spine Buster is fantastic if you haven't
seen it. No, he's great. I like him.
So do you think the Anderson thing was a work?
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the play there?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what the play is. He does the Spine Buster as good as Arn Anderson. They're not related. I don't think they're related.
Do we want to talk about the return?
The return?
Monday's return with the OC member.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that. So the OC finally evened the odds against Rhea Ripley in the Judgment Day by bringing in Mia Yim.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting her to be the one.
I heard over the weekend that they were she was potentially being brought back. I think there are other people that could have gotten better reactions. She got a very Emma-like reaction.
Yeah, because, you know, the last time we saw her, it was with that horrible, horrible faction.
She had a mask on.
Huh?
She had a mask on.
Yeah, she had a mask on, and what was it? Retribution?
Yeah.
That whole thing was a failure. So, yeah, it was kind of like who? Like, a lot of people were like, who's that? And the other people were like, oh, her?
Yeah.
Like, but I'm happy because I know she's good, and she can actually bring a fight to Rhea.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it's going to work with the boys as a group, like if they're going to move together like past this feud as a big group with her. I don't think it will.
I would have liked to see Raquel Gonzalez take that role.
That would have been nice, too. Yeah, because she's tall.
Just for the size difference. Yeah. I just feel like it was a good thing to bring Maya in back. I don't think she had the right opportunity last time she was here. So it's a win for the women's division, but it doesn't. That whole feud. I hate Judgment Day too. Judgment Day and Riddle are my two least favorite things about wrestling right now.
I mean, I like Judgment Day, but that's because I'm also excited about the Sick New World New Metal Festival that's coming to Vegas. I'm a gothy little new metal guy. I like the whole spooky vibe. So, anyway, that's enough of the stories. Let's get into the topic real quick. I have betrayals because of Warjo and Joe's turning on Wardlow. I figured let's go with betrayals. Your favorite on-screen friendship / partnership betrayal. I'll start with the Festival of Friendship with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens.
Oh, that's a good one.
I thought that was amazing when he's holding the list. He's like, what? And I thought the whole thing worked out perfectly. I have the painting of Jericho and Kevin Owens with the, what is it, the Sistine Chapel painting.
That's pretty amazing.
I have that poster at home. My wife doesn't let me put it on the walls.
Oh, because when we're
smart
in the
woman.
Studio, I think that's a great
poster. I'll bring it in. We'll put it up here. Because it's wasting away. It's just collecting dust in my house. But yeah, that's my favorite on-screen betrayal. How about you, John?
I'm torn because I love, like, the first one I remember from childhood was the Rockers. Shawn Michaels kicking Marty Jannetty through the glass.
That was great.
My brain was blown. I was a young kid. I'd never seen anything like that. It was always good guys, bad guys, and that was such a clear heel turn.
Yeah.
That blew my mind, but I also, there's something about the Seth Rollins turn on Roman that
chair shot.
Yeah.
It's one
of those two.
How about you, Earl?
I can't pick between the two, but you know, obviously Hogan turning on Savage and Luger.
Oh yeah.
You know, to form maybe the greatest bad guy heel turn in the history of pro wrestling. But if that's too big and it's like that's untouchable because it's a clear choice, and it doesn't get enough credit when Arn Anderson and Pillman were wrestling Flair and Sting. And Flair turned on Sting. So well done. And
yeah.
They really made you believe that Flair and Sting were like thick as thieves. And then Anderson and Pillman start beating the shit out of Sting. And Sting goes for the tag. Flair tags him. Looks like he's going to hit Arn Anderson and then sucker punches Sting. It's the best. Like,
Was that on a pay-per-view? You remember?
I don't. It was WCW, but it was so well, like, you really thought, oh, my God. Oh, my God, he just turned on his partner. This is wild. That's mine by far.
All right. Least favorite betrayal. It doesn't have to be favorite, but just, like, the what you would consider to be the worst executed betrayal, I think, on television or pay-per-view or anything like that. You have any in that category for yourself?
Come back to me. I have to think about this one.
So what I'm trying to think of, the least. Probably, you know, in that weird time in the NWO when I think Nash turned on Hall. And
oh, yeah, that was awful.
It just, you know, and they had Hall playing a drunk. Well, he wasn't playing a drunk, but like they were basically, hey, let's turn your alcoholism into a storyline. I can't remember a specific match, but I guess when they turned on each other, you knew they were best friends in real life. I think I'm watching this new show, Tales of the Territories. I think Dutch Mantel had the best saying. He's like, wrestling fans, you know, they love you, they want to believe until you give them a reason to disbelieve.
Yeah.
And like with that, it was just like, oh, I know they're best friends. They're not turning on each other.
Yeah.
So that would probably be my least favorite.
For me, and I know a lot of wrestling fans are going to be upset about this, I don't like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn turning on each other because they are best friends too. So when they started turning on each other to feud in NXT, I believe, I just didn't really buy it. And I know that they have great matches together and good chemistry and blah, 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 and they can fight forever and the matches are all great. But I still don't, you know, I don't buy it. I know that they're best friends. It doesn't really register with me. So I'm going to go with that.
I would say the one that I was debating between two, but the one that I landed on was Steve Austin becoming Team ECW.
Oh, like yeah.
Sort of a betrayal of like the WWE. That fucking killed me.
Yeah, that was
like
bad.
The biggest name in WWE, and then he became the face of ECW, and I'm like, this doesn't fit.
Yeah, that didn't do it for me either. I hated that too. I'm not going to switch my answer, but still, yeah, that was pretty fucking bad.
That was one that really stuck out as that was stupid.
Yeah. And then finally, I have let's fantasy book a tag team breakup. Who would you want to see break up and how would you, you know, book that breakup? I'm going to go with New Day. I think it's time for Xavier Woods to get a singles run. We've already had Kofi as champ. We've already had Big E as champ. I think it's Xavier Woods' turn to get a singles run. I don't know if he would be better as a heel or a face. I can't buy Kofi going heel, so I feel like maybe Xavier could go heel. So I would like to see Xavier just turn on Kofi, go heel, and go get a belt on his own. Either one of you got something else? John?
Oh, I mean, I would probably go with, I mean, there are so few legit tag teams right now. It's hard. Are we talking current tag teams?
Well, yeah. I mean, we want a fantasy book, a breakup of something that's current.
Yeah. I mean, I they're never going to do it, but I kind of love the idea of breaking up Street Profits and what's his name?
Montez Ford
is going to probably be the one that blows up, and I feel like this is if you pair him with Bianca, which is a real life relationship, and you make them like the big, like the top dogs, I would make them both heel, make them like a heel couple, like sort of the Miz and Maryse, make them the new Miz and Maryse, and you have his partner just trying to keep up, but he's gonna be gone after that.
Yeah, it's funny how we were talking about that like a couple months back, how he was gonna get a singles run because they were, you know, happy with him, and then that kind of just dissipated.
Well, that I think was a Vince McMahon thing. I think that was one of the things McMahon was pushing for. But I think Triple H respects tag team wrestling and knows he has nobody right now. That's why he keeps bringing back the fucking Viking Raiders. Every 3 weeks is the return of the Viking Raiders. What are we doing?
Yeah, yeah. So what about you, Earl? Which tag team would you break up?
I think it'd be funny if... who are the tag teams that were around when Billy and Chuck were...
I don't remember that.
All right. Well, I don't remember the tag teams, but there had to have been one with a female manager. I want to say Goldust when he would walk out with Terry Runnels.
Mm.
Whoever his tag team partner was, I'm drawing a blank right now, but they're wrestling Billy and Chuck. Obviously, in the storyline, Billy and Chuck are homosexual lovers.
Your favorite storyline in WWE 100%.
No, I mean, Rico is the gay wedding organizer. So I'm going to throw this scenario where, let's just say it doesn't matter. Billy or Chuck is about to pin Goldust, and then Terry Runnels gets up, shows her tits or whatever, and then one of the other, Chuck, let's say, goes over there and starts making out with her. So it turns out they're not gay. And then they break up. Wait, I thought we were getting married. Like, you're heterosexual?
Earl brings this storyline up so often that I have to imagine this is like he jerks off to the different scenarios.
But tell me that wouldn't be a funny, stupid, like.
Of course it would.
Yeah.
But like, so let's say Billy is. Oh my God, you're not gay? Like, when they broke it up, it's still my favorite line ever in a live promo when they're just to be announced man and man, husband and husband. And Billy Gunn's like, wait a minute, Bischoff, we're not gay. Like, and then the crowd erupted. Like, if they were gay, it'd be the worst thing on planet Earth. And if I was gay, I wouldn't marry Chuck. Like, what? Chuck's like, I don't know. So that would be, all right, if you're not counting that, I still think it would be funny.
Do a current tag team.
That's the only tag team he watches videos of. You know, if you ever do a segment, what would be your dream return?
Oh, 100%.
Billy and Chuck versus the Go Usos back. For the tag titles.
I'm going to give you guys a homework assignment.
Oh, boy.
Let's be honest. We've all got time. and I love when a bit, even if it's not the greatest angle like that, when the wrestlers, the managers are really into it and acting. Look at how Rico was that whole segment. Playing, like I said, I don't know if he's gay in real life. I don't think he is. He's now a transit cop, I think, in Vegas. Okay. No, I mean, it's weird that he was a pretty big-name wrestler. Now he's just a cop on the beat. But the way he was playing, you know, the effeminate, all this work I've planned, all this pageantry, just stop it. Stop it. And then the Godfather comes out. I mean, it was a well done segment. Get your good time girls out of here. I told the Godfather was my favorite thing he ever did. He's like, really? All the stuff I've done and that's your favorite? Get out of town. And then he took a picture with me.
I'm a Papa Shango kind of guy.
When he put the curse on Ultimate Warrior, that's when I'm starting to go, I don't know if this is real or not.
I still think the best breakup is probably Earl and the Roast Battle community. I think that's the biggest breakup in
Earl, you got some traction last week. Uh-oh.
You know, all I try and do is help you guys and girls. You want to get exploited, used, and tossed aside for the Sklar brothers? I'm going to let it happen now. Because I got a message from a female roast battler. I won't dignify her by saying her name on here so she gets the clout. She's like, I want to roast battle you. And if you think that I did that promo to get back into roast battle, you're wrong, Toots. And then she said to me, you're afraid to lose to me. I'm not afraid to lose. I've lost to Robin Tran at Clusterfest. I've lost to Sarah Tiana on television. But I also beat Jimmy Carr on television. I also beat Tom Ballard on television. I also beat Comedy Central's number one roast writer on television. Guy hasn't been seen since. I also beat Olivia Grace at LA Riot, where you were in the crowd watching me. So one woman's opinion doesn't really mean much to me, because nobody even knows who you are. No one knows who your opponents are. You've battled in half-empty backyards and saugas and half-empty belly room shows, when the judges had less credits than you did. I battle on television. I'll always be the man. I'm better than all of you. I got a big dick. I got a paid-off condo. I'm almost done with my lease on my Jeep. I got life pretty much the way I want it, honey. And I bet you thought I'd mention your name. Get you a little clout with the roasting community. Uh-uh. You don't deserve it. I'll always be better than you. Grew up in Bel Air. I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth. Not every comic's dirt poor, sucking the tit off a show I helped start. You are. It's over. Like I said last week, I'm going to start a comedy show. It's called Stand Up Wars, where you have to do stand up. Be about two people booked on the show. Because none of you get what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you. I'm a pillar of the community. I speak for the victims. I'm a voice of the voiceless. And you guys think I did that last week to get back into roast battle? I'll never walk up those stairs again. And if I did want to walk up those stairs again, I'm not going to call Pat Barker. I'm not going to call Keller. I'm just going to call Moses. Say, I'd like to battle Tuesday night. I'm the main event. And it's done like that. And it ain't going to be you. It's not going to be any of the crew you go with. You know, I love how you hang out with guys who have more court dates than they do stand-up dates. But I'm the bad guy. I'm trying to help you. I don't care if you get used, abused, exploited, battling a cripple kid, battling someone with no legs, speech impediments, whatever. Go keep at it. See where that gets you. Because I got a spot tonight. I got two next week. What do you got? You don't come up here on any other night other than Tuesday night. So I'm done helping you guys. Start the 10 more roast shows. Roast beef, roast turkey. Do it. You'll never achieve what I've achieved in this business. Ever. Ever. I might be old, 54, but I guarantee I'm going to outlive you. And while I'm at it, and I hope this stays in the clip, you people, when a comic dies in this community and you act so sad and devastated, are the same ones who a week before were telling me how annoying she was. Brian Marino died. Laugh Factory puts his name up on the marquee. Make God laugh. You didn't book him there for the last 10 years. But I'm the bad guy. So you guys roast away. I'll be on stage in the R, main room, belly room tonight, doing the hat trick. But you guys keep roasting. Have at it. And when it's time for the TV taping, Blake Griffin's going to get the call. A Slovenian hockey player who can't speak English, he'll get the call. It's over. I'm going to laugh my ass off.
Well, I'm going to play good guy here and say rest in peace, Brian Moreno and Cassie Dan.
You didn't even know either of them.
I don't know, but rest in peace to them. Rest in peace to Gallagher. I don't know Gallagher.
He's part of the problem.
I'm not claiming I know him. And I'm just saying rest in peace.
This is going to be the best breakup in tag team history.
Yeah, right.
And everyone talking about how great Gallagher was. Oh, my God. He inspired me. When he was up here trying to mooch weed off of people. Oh, what an asshole. I'm the one who saw him at the Wiltern in the 80s. Gallagher, he inspired you.
It didn't inspire me.
Honestly,
but,
you smashing watermelons on stage. By the way, that bit doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it's not that's pretty racist.
So goodbye, guys. Roast away. There's a couple shows and at the Improv now. The Ha Ha. Tuesday nights. Probably none of you have thanked Brian Moses. Guys helped hundreds of comics, and you guys do nothing for him.
Well, anyway, we're going to wrap this up.
No, I'm not done. Follow this. Assholes. And if you don't like what I'm saying, come to the Comedy Store on a non-Tuesday. That's when I'm here. I get checks in the office.
That's right.
But I'm the bad guy.
Wait, why is it a non-Tuesday?
Because I don't come up here on Tuesdays to deal with that energy. Everyone talking about the different generations of the show. There's two generations of Roast Battle. Let's break this down real quick, and then I got a spot. That's when you get paid. That's when you call Emily on Monday and she gives you a spot or two Tuesday. Let's compare my generation to this current generation. My generation of Roast Battle, 3 seasons on U.S. television, 2 seasons in the U.K., hosted by the guy I beat. That made a lot of sense. But that's the life of Lifshitz. Your generation, 0 seasons. Good luck with that first season. Boom! Suck on it.
The cleaner, Earl Skakel, cleaning up the Roast Battle community for everyone.
Get I started it. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to burn the whole show down.
Well, thank you all very much for watching and listening. My name is Eddie Torres. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. You can follow the cleaner here, Earl Skakel.
At Earl Skakel. And I mean, go to Comedy Central. Five battles on television, season one. Five battles. How many did you have, toots and DMs? Zero. Bitch.
Follow John at Comedy Store Studios. He is the current CSW World Heavyweight Champion. This is his belt now until we do our predictions for Full Gear next week. And then we'll see what happens. Thank you, guys. Follow at Comedy Store Wrestling, at Stores World on Twitter. Send us emails. Also, real quick, Tony Capo sent us some toys. Shout out to him for sending us that.
Where are they?
They're back. They're in the studio back there. You want to bring them in here real quick? Just to give him a little quick shout out.
He contacted me. Are we going to split them? Like, you get one, I get one, or John gets one?
Whatever you want. You should probably take that Flair toy.
Whoa. Jesus, bro. Have some respect.
Check this out, though. He sent us this.
These are pretty cool.
These are awesome. Our Hulk Hogan.
Don't take them out of the box. Ric you ruin Flair. The value.
Yeah, yeah.
I take all mine out of the box because I know I'm never going to sell them. I play with him.
And then real quick, I'm going to look up his name. The robots. What was it? Hold on one second.
Handmade by robots? No.
I'm out of the loop on this promo.
Right. Yeah, you need to
Robot go- Zero. At Robot Zero _. Follow his shop. He's got a bunch of wrestling memorabilia and toys and all that. He sent us these. So thank you very much, Tony.
Tony, thank you very much. You know, most people, I get a lot of DMs from non-roasters. Oh, I'm going to send you this. I'm going to send you that. They never send it to me. It was an honor this week. I don't know when it's airing to be on Vicky Guerrero's podcast. She told me she'd send me an Eddie doll on the house.
So. Ooh, all right. Well, yeah, thank you guys. If you got more free shit you want to send us, just send away. You know where to send it. You know where we are.
I'll give out my home address right now. I will, too.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Earl, I think you need to do a promo to Mattel to get a Billy and Chuck 2-pack.
Listen, like, if you guys want to sell wrestling dolls to a niche particular segment of the wrestling community, they do have a lot of gay fans. And I'm telling you right now, if you put out a Billy and Chuck doll with a little Rico doll in the background, I'll be your first order. I'll give you $200. I want it signed by all three, though. I can't be seen at wrestling conventions. It's too much. I went to the Ric Flair roast. They had a convention the day after. They had the roast, the convention, the match, and that. Oh, by the way, who makes those? Is it Mattel?
Yeah, I think so.
Or who makes those?
Yeah, Mattel. Mattel.
If I send you guys my Virgil doll, can you put some boogers up his nose? Because I want my dolls to be realistic. And some breath mints, too. Oh, my God. Damn, that guy's hygiene is out of control.
Thank you, guys. Like, share, and subscribe, all that stuff.